Okay, so today we're back with an episode all about yoga classes. I recently made a PDF guide that I shared on my Instagram called Find Your Fit Yoga Class Edition, and I go over the different types of yoga classes that you'll typically find in studio, and I just wanted to make an episode on it and just kind of expound a little bit because it's hard to fit all of those into one page. So, some of the common types of yoga classes that I've seen different studios offer is Vinyasa, Ashtanga, Hatha, Iyengar, Power, Yin Restorative, and Kundalini Yoga. And these are only like a very small handful of yoga classes. There are more types of yoga than I can probably even count. These are just some of the more common ones, so I just kind of wanted to hit the highlights on each one, and just kind of tell y'all about them, and maybe you find one that you want to try that you've never heard of or something. I don't know. So your Vinyasa yoga, that is gonna be like your basic flow class. Like, that I feel like is what most people picture when they think of a yoga class. It's a combination of Vinyasa yoga, Ashtanga, and Iyengar. Again, this is what people picture. It's a different sequence of poses or asanas that string together into a flowy connected class that all kind of goes together. It all makes sense. It's not very choppy, if you will. And again, this is your basic class. Not that it's basic, but you know. And I think this is great for beginners. It provides a really good foundation to build on and expand on. There are always modifications. It's good for strength building. And you get that strength training, and then you also get some relaxation in the same class. So, depending on your teacher, and again, everybody does things differently, but typically with your Vinyasa classes, you'll have, your flow, and it usually gets a little sweaty, and it usually does really get into those muscles. And sometimes, again, it depends on the teacher. The last half of the class will be more of a restorative, or at least at the very end, the Shavasana is always a very restorative pose. And in Vinyasa, you always end in Shavasana. So you do get a little bit of relaxation, if not a good portion of it. And then the next one is Ashtanga Yoga. This was created by Patabi Joyce. This style has had a major impact on modern day yoga and is part of the foundation of the yoga as we know it. Like I said, that was part, a piece of the puzzle that went into the creation of the Vinyasa yoga flow. And so Ashtanga, excuse me, is a series, and it's the same poses each class. And typically you do, instead of like a flow class where you'll do everything on one side and then maybe take a vinyasa and then do everything on the other, with Ashtanga, you do, like, say you're doing like triangle to the left side, well, then you'll go do triangle to the right side and then you'll be done with triangle. So it's not as flowy as a vinyasa. And the goal is to memorize the sequence. The teacher is present to adjust and provide assistance with the expectation that the student already knows the flow. There's an emphasis on 3 points that should all be executed together, which is the pranayama or the breath, the asana or the pose, and then the drishti, which is an eye gaze. That being said, I've taken an Ashtanga class and I did it via Zoom because, COVID. And the instructor did lead the class with us. I don't know if it was just because it was online, but when I took it, that's what she did. And so that was really
that was fine. I mean, I know a lot of people who their first experience with yoga was Ashtanga, and it's been great. I would say, personally, I think it's better suited for somebody who's already been practicing yoga just because of the memorization. But again, the class that I took, the instructor led you through the poses. She talked you through the poses. So I don't think that really matters unless you have like more of an old school Ashtanga instructor. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I prefer flow better personally, but it was different. It's a little bit longer. I think it's closer to like 75 minutes, maybe. It might even be a little bit longer. It might be like a 90-minute class. And typical, like, your flow classes are usually like 60 minutes, so it is lengthier. And then, it is the same sequence. So if you are new to yoga, you could also take that approach since it would be the same sequence over and over, and it would help you really learn the poses. The next class is Hatha, and this practice originally was more focused on the breath. Traditional Hatha uses the pranayama, or the breath, mudras, which are hand positions and gestures, bandhas, which are body or energy locks, and shatkarma, which is a yoga purification technique, and 12 poses. Now, modern Hatha has evolved like most yoga practices. It's now used as more of a stress relief yoga. It's a flow type class with longer holds than a vinyasa. So I used to take Hatha classes pretty often, and it felt very similar to vinyasa. We would just hold certain poses a little bit longer, which sometimes were really great, like for relaxation, and other times when you're holding a difficult pose, it does, you know, it makes you shake a little bit, so it's good for muscle building as well. And the highlighted benefit that I had said was, you know, like I just said, it's a flow with longer holds, meaning you get a good stretch and you still build that muscle. So to me, when I picture Hatha, I think of like a slower vinyasa, if that makes sense in anybody's head, like it does mine. Iyengar yoga was created by BKS Iyengar. He named it after himself. This is a style of yoga that is Hatha based, and it's focused on alignment and precision. I personally have never taken an Iyengar class. I know there's some studios near me in the DFW area that are Iyengar studios, so I know it's around, but it's not like super, super common, just because it's a little bit more specified, I guess you could say. And what the practice looks like is their sequences are based on 200 different poses and 14 different types of the breath. And again, it is very alignment based. I have BKS Iyengar's book, Light on Yoga, that I read for my yoga teacher training. And in it is all of the poses, all the 200 poses that he taught, and like the exact alignment that you're supposed to be in. So it is a good option for beginners because it is focused on alignment, or anyone, because with it being that focused on moving your body properly, it turns it into a very safe practice. So you're less likely to experience any injuries, which is another thing to think about, because I have done yoga in the past before I really knew what I was doing, and I have messed up my back more than once. So you definitely really want to be focused on alignment and building core strength, honestly, to help with the lower back issues. So that is another thing to think about that I feel like a lot of people don't really think about whenever it comes to yoga, is like you actually can hurt yourself. So making sure you're in proper alignment is super, super important. And that's another thing that's really nice. It's hard whenever everything's like online over Zoom, but when you're in a studio, typically the instructors will come and make adjusts if you are in a position or you're a little bit out of alignment and you could hurt yourself. But again, with everything being virtual, it's a little bit more difficult because the teacher can't see you. They're not in the room with you. Just a little soapbox there. Power yoga. This is another one that's like super, super common. I honestly feel like it's kind of like an umbrella term. This style of yoga is much newer. It is from the 90s. It is a combination of many types of yoga, and it's really geared more towards physical exercise. So I feel like this is what a lot of people in the West consider like a good like yoga sweat workout or like something very physical, obviously. It's typically faster than a vinyasa flow with less rest time, not as restorative, and it's really focused on burning calories and building strength and building muscle. So again, this is another one that's super, super common. It's you can't really trace it back to one type of yoga. It's a combination, and it's very, very common. You can find a power class probably anywhere that you go. I mean, and that's pretty much it about power. It's a really good workout. I will say that. I do enjoy a good power class. So yin and restorative is the next classes, and they're both a little different, but I kind of lumped them together just because I think it's easier. It makes sense in other people's heads to lump them together and then try to go into like the super like nitty gritty details of it, because they're both generally the same. There's just a couple of differences. So with the origin of it, yin yoga is a form of Taoist yoga, and restorative yoga is also known as rest and digest, was popularized by one of BKS Iyengar's students, and it's a form of Iyengar yoga. So these practices, like I said, they have a few differences, but overall, the poses are held for a long period of time. Typically, you'll hold your poses for anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes, and the goal of yin is to get into the deep connective tissues of the body, and restorative, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's used to restore the body. These are great for everyone. It's a good way to stretch after a power class or any other type of workout. It's really relaxing. It's a great way to de-stress. Honestly, restorative is one of my favorite styles of yoga, especially because when I'm at work, I'm on my feet all day. So if you have a very physical job, I highly recommend a restorative class or a yin class. The only difference really with yin is restorative, you're supposed to do when your muscles are warm. So almost, you can kind of think of it as like, almost like an active recovery after a workout, or that might not be the best choice of words, but with yin, you're supposed to do it while your muscles are cold. And honestly, I feel like that's the main difference. There might be some others, so don't come for me if you know the exact difference, but just in my head, the way that I figure it out is yin is done cold and restorative is done when your muscles are a little bit warm. So, for example, you could wake up in the morning and do a yin practice because you just woke up, you haven't been moving around. Restorative, you can do after a long day of work when you've been up and moving and whatnot. But I really like these. They're great. I get a lot of like lower back pain at work, and so I will usually come home and do a little either full restorative class or like a little mini restorative class, just self-led, right before I go to bed, just to kind of help lengthen everything out and stretch everything out. So definitely a fan of those. And then the last class that I'm going to talk about is Kundalini. And I had a really hard time fitting all of this into one slide. I have a very big soft spot in my heart for Kundalini yoga. It is one of the first types of yoga that I was introduced to. My aunt got into Kundalini yoga, and I was like, what is this? And so I kind of got into it. And then after that, I started going to like a vinyasa flow class. But this was my first like real introduction to yoga when I started to like seriously get into it. So Kundalini was brought to the West in the 1970s by Yogi Bhajan. And this style is much different than other styles. There's much more of a focus on your breath, mudras, or, you know, the hand positions. And there is chanting involved in Kundalini yoga. The instructor will call out different postures that involve mudras, a specific breath pattern, chanting, and sometimes a drishti or a specific eye gaze. The poses are timed. Most of the time, they're done seated or lying down. It can appear to be more of a gentle practice, but I promise you, some of these will give you a very good burn. I have done some classes where I did not know if I was going to make it to the end of class. The goal of Kundalini is to activate the Kundalini energy in the spine. This practice works with the chakras and the meridians in the bodies. So Kundalini translates to, I believe it translates directly to snake. And so the base of your spine with your root chakra is, think of it as like there's like a little snake coiled down at the bottom. And the goal is to move that snake all the way up through your chakras and activate the Kundalini energy. So you're activating all seven chakras and you're, again, working with the different meridian points. And it's very, very difficult to sum up Kundalini yoga in a very short time frame. I will say, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, Bethany is not making perfect sense, but this sounds really interesting, check out Elevate the Globe. That's who I started Kundalini yoga with, and I absolutely love it. They're much more eloquent at explaining Kundalini yoga because they are Kundalini yoga instructors, and they have so much. They've got, I think they have a couple YouTube classes. They've got a membership community. They host little free challenges, and they post, you know, all about it all over Instagram and TikTok. But they are definitely a great resource. That is how I got into it. There's also Kundalini meditation. So they're a little bit shorter. They're not quite a full yoga class. So again, this is super, super different than your typical yoga classes and even the ones that I talked about. Let's see. And then for the highlighted benefit, I'm like reading off my notes as I do this. But again, this is my first introduction to yoga, so I'm very, very partial to this practice. I feel that it's more of a mental and meditative practice, but again, there are certain postures where you will feel the burn. It's great for moving stagnant energy. It's great for releasing any kind of blockages that you have in your body, which is another reason that it works hand in hand with the chakra system and the meridians that run throughout your body. And that's all I have. Again, with Kundalini, if this is something that you're interested in, definitely check out Elevate the Globe. They're an excellent resource. And with any of these, if you need more resources on how to find them, or if you want any more information than just this little brief overview, definitely let me know. And if I'm not 100% sure, I will direct you in the right direction. I will also try to link the PDF that I made into the show notes if it will let me. If not, it's linked in my Instagram bio, which I will put in the show notes. And then also, like, if you just want like the actual like PDF, shoot me like a DM with your email and I will send that over to you. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. I haven't really done much podcasting about yoga, So if you want to hear more about yoga or anything like that, definitely let me know. But I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you next week.